The children bring such joy to our hearts. Amen. How good it was to see them all up here today. I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you will, and if you would find the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 this morning, if you would find Hebrews chapter 9 in God's holy word. And then if you would you please stand as we read God's holy word to us. We're going to look at just one verse here this morning, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men, and I'm going to stop right there. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we just thank you for your amazing grace, the tenderness of your spirit, the joy of creation as we have seen in the lives of these children this morning and even in our own lives. Father, as we gather here this morning around the Word of God, Lord, we ask that we would have what Jesus prayed for, an ear to hear, that your Word might go down into our heart, that we might profit from it. And Lord, we know that your Word never goes out void, that when your Word is spoken, you are always seeking to call. You call people to account. You call people to make a decision. And Lord, today we pray that every heart would tune in to what you have to say. And Lord, that we would respond in kind when that opportunity to respond is given here this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can keep your Bible open if you like. You may be seated. But I want to begin talking and sharing with you this morning that the Word of God says, and as it is appointed unto men. And I want you to begin to think about all the appointments that you have had in your lifetime. For example, there was a time when it was appointed unto you to be born because you are the creation of Almighty God. There was a time in eternity past when God saw the day when he formed you in your mother's womb. And that just lets us know that God thought of you, that you are a very special creation because you have life, because God is the creator of life. God thought of you. He saw the womb that you would come forth from. He saw the mother who would birth you. He saw the day of your birth, and every single one of us has a day that we call our birthday. Mine's February 17th. It's coming up in a few months, in case y'all want to remember. But you also have your day, amen? But think about some other things that are appointed unto us. It's appointed unto us that when we, as we grow up, we're going to have to go to school. It's appointed unto us that we're going to have to learn. It's appointed unto us the time we got to be at places. It's appointed unto us that one day we're going to have to get a job. It's appointed unto us we're going to have to show up at a certain time for our job. It's appointed unto us even when we go out and play. For example, if you golf like I do, you got a tee time. It's an appointed time. You better show up or you're not going to be on the course. You have an appointed time for a haircut. You have an appointed time for a hair appointment, a nail appointment. Miss Lakin likes those. You've got times that are appointed in life of things that are going to be expected of you. There's going to be an appointed time when you graduate. For all of the children we saw up here this morning, there was an appointed time when you as a young baby girl became a young woman and you had a child and God blessed your womb and you brought forth God's creation, God's special blessing to you into this world. There was a time appointed. And the Bible says here, as it is appointed unto men, And then it goes, wants to die. We're not always going to be here. And death is no respecter of persons. Death takes little children, it takes old folks, it takes everybody in between. It is an appointment that one day we're going to keep, and as you think about this appointment that one day you're going to keep, I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to keep that appointment? What if your appointment was today? Bible teaches that no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord may come. You don't know where you will be, what you're going to be doing, or what's going to be taking place in your life when your life will end. You don't know how you're going to leave this world. God does. But it is appointed unto men. And so we have all of these appointments that we're talking about. And I really want you to get that firmly planted in your mind that there is an appointment. It is appointed. And we think of all the appointments that we have had. Would you be ready if the appointment was today? Now, I want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning about how to be ready for that appointed time. You see, it would be a terrible, tragic thing if you were to come to this church or any church and show up week after week after week and never be ready for your appointed time and you wouldn't get to go home to heaven. I want to talk to you this morning about a Savior who loves you so very, very much. And you'll see on this slide that, if you can put that next slide up, please, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But in you and I there is darkness. For example, one thing I know about you to be true, you have sinned. But then so have I. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a sinless person here this morning. I want you to think of the worst thing that you have ever done. Get that firmly planted in your mind. Now think of the best thing you've ever done. And you are the person who is somewhere in between. Sometimes you do some things good. Sometimes you do some things that are absolutely horrible. Amen? Sometimes we think things we ought not to think. Sometimes we say things we wish we could get back. Sometimes we do things and we think, oh my Lord, why did I do such a dumb thing? It's because of the sin that is inside of us. And people think that one day, and you can put that slide back up if you would, that separation, what has separated us from God is our sin. And our sin keeps us from a holy God. And sometimes people think, well, I can work my way to heaven. Or, you know, I'll work there. I'll do something good to make up for the bad I've done. But friend, our good works are just as filthy rags in the sight of Almighty God. No matter if I could be perfect or if you could be perfect from this day forward, what are we going to do with the things that we know we've done wrong in the past? And there's just no way that we can work our way to heaven. Sometimes people think, well, I'm good enough for God to accept. And the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Because we have this thing in us called sin. Some people think they can get to heaven on the scales of justice. If my good outweighs my bad, I'll get in. No, you won't. What's going to take care of your bad? You see, you and I have a problem. I don't think there's anybody in here who would not want to go to heaven, because heaven is a place of blessed peace, a place of no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. It's a wonderful place. And I don't think anybody in here would not want to go to heaven, but we need to get ready to go to heaven. And I want to tell you about somebody who loved you so, so much. When I think of the worst thing, and you think of your worst thing now, the worst thing you've ever done, How many of you have ever felt, I'm not worthy to be loved by God? God could never forgive me for what I've done. I mean, this one's so bad that there's no way God could forgive me. But I want to tell you something. There's nobody so bad, and there's nothing you've done that's so bad that God will not forgive you and God will not love you. God loves you, and He loves you in this way. If you put up that next slide, please. He loves you in this way, that God gave His one and only begotten Son. You know, in our human lives, sometimes we love people when we think they deserve our love. But what about, do we still love them when they don't deserve it? God loves us. God loves us so very, very much. He loves us when we don't deserve it. He loves us when we are utterly unworthy of being loved. He loves us. How much does God love you? How much does God love me? How special are you to God? The cross says it all. When you look up there at that cross, the arms are open wide, and God is saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. And there's nothing so bad. There's nothing you can do to destroy my desire to love you. And so He gave His one and only begotten Son. You see, God wants us to be in heaven too. Do you know that it's God's desire to bless you? That God desires to love you in spite of who you are, in spite of all you've done. No matter what you have done, God loves you. Have you ever heard somebody say to you, well, so-and-so don't love me anymore, or I guess God doesn't love me, or the things you've heard. I know you've heard some stuff. God loves you. And His love is an unending love. His love never, ever ends. It's not dependent on what you do. If that were true, none of us would go to heaven. None of us would have the opportunity to be forgiven. But when you look at the cross, that's God's instrument, if you will. You see, the blood of Jesus had to be shed. God required an atonement for us, a penalty for sin. Now, how many of you, when you think of sin, you think, well, a little white lie, that's not that bad. You know. But that murderer over there, oh, man, that's bad. God says sin's all the same. How many of you have ever embellished the truth? You know, you add a little to the story to spice it up. See, we're all in church and we don't want to raise our hand, but we're all grinning because we know we've all done it. Okay? But don't worry, God already knows all about it. You can't hide anything from God. You know, some people think they can get away with some things. But God sees everything. How much does God see? God saw the day you were going to be born, remember? He saw that appointed time. He also knows the time you're going to leave this world. He knows when that appointed time is. God also knows the number of hairs on your head or the lack thereof, because I see some are still shining. God sees everything. You know, we talk about an appointed time. God knew there would be an appointed time when y'all would be here to watch your children at a Little Ed program. And God said, I want people to know how much I love them. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world. You're not talking about the planet. He's talking about you and He's talking about me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there an end to everlasting? Mm-mm. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus died on Calvary's cross and that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day. You can change those slides, please. Jesus was buried. The price of sin, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. That little embellishment, that deserved death. Any sin right now that you're condoning in your life against a holy, righteous God deserves death. Let me ask you a question. Do you really want to sin against God? Do you really want to think you can get away with something you know that God would not approve of and you want to continue doing it? Why would you do such a thing? To me, that would be like spitting in the face of someone you claim to love. And if you're doing it, you can repent of it. Hallelujah. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think maybe sometimes we get saved, but then we start doing things we know we shouldn't do. And we need to repent. We need to repent to be saved. Sometimes we need to repent to stay saved. Well, once we're saved forever, but sometimes we just need to repent to get our fellowship back with God. The Bible says that Jesus rose the third day. You see, death has no power. Death has no sting. Jesus said there's a better place awaiting. Hallelujah. That place is heaven. And there's only one way to heaven. There's only one bridge that can take you from hell, and hell is real, friend. There is a devil, and hell is a very real place. Jesus talked about hell. He talked more about hell than he did about heaven, and the reason he talked about hell than he did about heaven is because he doesn't want you going there. And so Jesus said that hell is a place where the worm never dies, the fire never goes out. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a place without me. Now, I can't imagine anybody wanting to choose to go to such a place. But you see, that's you and I. The only way to heaven is to come by way of the cross. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way. How many of you in your life or in your circle have heard, well, there's many roads to heaven. Have you heard that? Amen? There's not. There's one. Jesus is the only way. Don't believe this nonsense that all churches are the same, all religion is the same, because it's not. The only thing that is true is the Holy Bible. The only thing that's true is what Jesus says, not what man says. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Well, let me ask you. Have you done that? Have you made that decision for you? Has there been a time in your life, as you sit here this morning, that you can say, yes, Pastor Don, I did that. I came and I gave my heart to Jesus. And if you can't point to a time when you repented of your sin and gave your heart to Jesus, you need to do that today, because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. And you may not get another opportunity. But then also today is a day when people can repent. If you're out of fellowship with God, if you know that you're doing something you ought not to be doing, and God says it's wrong, hallelujah, you're here this morning because you can come and ask God to forgive you for that. And you know what? He will. Because He loves you. So if you take nothing away today, understand this, God loves you. How much does God love you? He gave His one and only begotten Son to pay the price of sin for every single one of us. So that every single one of us could come by way of the cross and find our way home by receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Lord. It is our personal Savior. And oh, how good it is to know that all is right between you and God.